Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural!
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Leif Hetland. Leif, you had a very, very special encounter with God that revolutionized your life. What do you call that? You label it something.
Well, I call it a baptism of love experience, and it sounds...
But wait a second now. You're a minister. You're seeing miracles. How could this be different than all the wonderful things that went before?
Well, I think you almost have to ask my wife that question, because with all the experience I had before, because I came from a background first as a rebellious person into all the drugs and everything else, had a glorious salvation. And then suddenly after Jesus healed me, delivered me, set me free, now I am out there on the field working for Him, traveling the world and doing all of these great things for Him, hoping that God the Father, that He's going to be pleased with me, not realizing that there was all these love deficit within me, that I was just trying to do all these things to please God.
You came from a good family. You weren't out in the streets. You weren't homeless. Your parents loved you. How did you have love deficits?
Well, I do believe that often what we do is with some of the emptiness of the heart. And for me, I was about 9 years old when I recognized that there was something in my heart that had a father hunger, something that I have seen is actually disease that is all over America and around in the world. I wanted just to be accepted by my father. I wanted him to love me and that he was going to be pleased with me. I wanted him to say, I love you and I'm proud of you. I'm pleased of you. And now I'm in the ministry, being a pastor, later on as evangelist, traveling the world, sharing about Jesus, seeing all these incredible things. But all the time, I just wanted to have that recognition that there was somebody that says, son, and it was actually the 9-year-old boy, not the preacher that was preaching hard messages, traveling around the world, but that little boy, he needed to hear, I love you, I am proud of you, you are my beloved son, Leif, whom I love and whom I am well pleased. And that changed every aspect of my life, because instead of being the president of an organization, being a businessman, being a pastor, my identity in what I am doing for God, suddenly I got a new identity. And it kind of scared somebody, because I was sitting on first class over to Europe, and a president of a large corporation, he asked me, what do you do for a living, after some chit-chat? And I said, well, I'm a lover. And he looked at me strange.
I can imagine.
Yeah, he wanted to change seat. He was looking around. And he said, no, I think you are a foreigner. You do not understand. What kind of work do you do? It's like, read my lips. And he talked a little bit loud. And I said, that's exactly what I do. I receive love and I give love. And then I share with him for the next 8 hours. I was going to Pakistan at that moment. Mm-hmm. And he said, why are you going to Pakistan? And I said, to do what I am, and that is to give love. And he couldn't understand that, but he had tears in his eyes by the time that we landed in Amsterdam and before I was changing the flight, to just to see this corporate executive being touched by the Father's love there on the airplane.
So you're saying to me that you don't have to do anything to have that fulfillment you needed with your father, that you can just love people and love God. You don't have to pray 15 hours a day. You don't have to read your Bible 20 hours a day. You don't have to witness to 50 people. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I know this sounds very radical, but that's what I was set free from. I call it the performance treadmill of arteries, because I had all these lists. When I was praying, I felt that I should witness. When I was witnessing, when was the last time you were home with your wife and your 4 children? When I was home with my wife and my children, when was the last time you went to the nations? When I was in the nations, when were you home? I could never do enough, and I just was trying harder. And the more I tried, the worse it looked. So somehow I felt I was not good enough father, not good enough husband. I didn't witness enough. I didn't see enough soul. If you saw 20,000 people in a meeting, next time you wanted to see 30,000 in a meeting. And this continuous strive of continue to try to get something that is a gift that you can only receive. So I was trying to achieve what you only can receive. I was trying instead of trusting. So I...
Well, let me ask you something. When you were trying, were you accomplishing more than what you do now by just, as you call it, being a lover?
Well, I can be honest to say no. I've seen more in the last 3 years than probably 17 years combined together. Because the wonderful thing of resting and receiving, there is something that says, ask of me and I will give you. This is something that God said to me. So when it is a gift, you can only receive a gift. So I'm asking him, how can I receive, say, Pakistan? Or how can I receive Cuba? How can I receive this person?
Pakistan? Wait a second. Well, you don't know what's going on there. That is not a place that is seeker-friendly for Christians.
No, but it is
that are proselytizing.
I heard that, and but when the love of God took hold of me, I realized also that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he loves the Jews and the Muslims and the rest of us sinners. So when I saw that wonderful people of Pakistan behind the veil, how much Jesus loved those people, there was something in my heart that urged me and encouraged me to go in there to be able to present the love and the light and the healing of Jesus, the same healing that had changed my life, the same love that had changed my life, because I knew that love is the language that the blind eyes can see and the deaf ears can hear. And even in Pakistan, where they speak Urdu, they understand the language of love.
Now, you actually went to the heads of some governments that are Muslim. Tell me about one.
Well, I've been in quite a few of them. The head leader.
But pick one.
I can pick one, but one of them is the top Muslim leader in Pakistan, the head of the biggest mosque in Pakistan. He's been in my home in Columbus, Georgia, when I was living there, staying in my.
But wait! You are a Christian that is not ashamed of Jesus. How could he be your friend?
He is a friend because I see that Jesus Christ Himself, He was friend. He was a wonderful friend with any sinner. And I believe that this wonderful...
No, I know you could be a friend of his, but how could he be a friend of yours?
Well, I think, again, the people, they don't care what you know, how much you care. And as a result of relationship, first that I got to have with his father before he died, later on, eating dinner together, visiting his home, coming to the mosque, which was the biggest mosque in the world, now it's the second biggest mosque, the King's Mosque for all the kings and presidents.
Has he seen miracles connected with you?
Yes, he has. And every time I visit at home, even in the name of Jesus Christ, I am praying a blessing over him, his house, and his family.
Listen to this. He literally has moved in words of knowledge with Muslim leaders that are astounded by these miracles. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Our world is rife with comparisons about what separates us. Day after day, we go about our lives with tunnel vision. But Scripture tells us how Messiah broke down the wall between Jew and Gentile, allowing for the creation of one new man, one new humanity. This spiritual completeness is set to usher in the greatest move toward God the world has ever known. Sid Roth has discovered Scripture's key to reaching the Jewish people with God's love. One new humanity opens the door for God to move in signs and wonders, and all will see the evidence of the invisible God promised in Scripture. At SidRoth.org, you'll find mentoring tools to empower you to share how one new humanity is critical to bringing multitudes to know God. You'll understand Israel and the Jewish roots of the church and how all the nations of the earth will experience blessings unseen in human history. Log on to SidRoth.org today and learn how one new man is the key to unlocking God's greatest blessings.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Leif Hetland. Leif had a visitation of the love of Father God that has transformed his life. He doesn't strive anymore. He's not after his reputation anymore. He just basks and loves in God's love, and things happen. For instance, he has become friends with Muslims. Tell me about one Muslim leader that that is a friend of yours and what God did?
Well, I had the joy a few months ago to be in an Arab nation, actually a totally closed nation. And in the middle of that, I was invited into the palace as an infidel, into some of the top three scholars, Muslim leaders of that nation. And I knew of their reputation and the names in all of the 21 Arabic nations. We ate a wonderful dinner together, and during the time of the conversation, we were going to have a spiritual exercise where they asked that we need to cut out Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and one of these Muslim religious leaders was going to take us through, and he says, you're going to see the face of God. I had a few people on my team with me that was there to testify, and all of them gave up because they didn't want to be involved in this spiritism. And I said, please, for my sake, let us just finish this exercise. And I knew I had an opportunity to do my exercise afterwards. And we finished the exercise, and I said, it is my turn to do my exercise. Could we do the same as this Dr. Muhammad did, that we just relax and receive? And they said, yes, we can do that. And they stared at me, and I said, could you just open up your hands like if I wanted to give you a gift? And they did that. And I just knew, I need some help right now, Lord, because I don't know what to do.
You're in big trouble if God doesn't show up.
I do, yeah. And suddenly got a word from God where God says that the elbow of one person 5 years ago was hurt, the elbow. And a person even whispered into my ear that was with us. And I said, when I touch your elbow, you're going to sense that Jesus Christ, he is here, and you're going to experience it. You have had a problem with the elbow. And he said, how do you know? I said, I don't, but God do. And he loves you. And when I touch this elbow, it is going to be a testimony, and it's going to be a proof that Jesus, he is here. And I prayed. I said, can I pray for you? And I touched the elbow. And afterwards, I touched his forehead, and I started to speak about his childhood, something that has happened with his father when he was 9 years old. And this is one of the top Muslim leaders. When I was finished, he did something that the rest of us was astonished. He said, wow. And he said, you tricked me, he said. You got me to think about these things, but now I don't have any more pain. And how did you know about all of these different things? And then right afterwards, I had the opportunity to mention of a person. There was only three of them, so that's one thing when you have a big audience. But when there's three right there, one of them needed a knee replacement. And Jesus, glorious, has just touched the knee of that person and brought glory to himself. So in the palace, in an Arab nation, three of the top Arabs was there. And they are now studying a wonderful book about the supernatural living, that they are learning more about Jesus, the great physician, and what he can do because of the wonderful Jesus experience that invaded his palace.
You know, Leif, when you were sharing that, the presence of God got so strong because it's not by man's intellect, but it is by God's Spirit that all people are drawn to Jesus. Is it true that you're part of a team that has led 500,000 Muslims to Jesus?
It is true that we've seen all over the world, yes, as a team, that we have seen literally 500,000 people. I do not know the numbers. It is just the numbers that is being given. But as we're seeing 40, 50, 60,000 people coming together, and they're experiencing both healing, salvation, and deliverance from city to city.
Let's take a look at one of these miracles, a deaf mute. It reminds me of what I read about in the Bible. This is in Pakistan.
Since her birth, she was deaf and dumb. But she can listen and speak.
Yes.
Amma.
Yes.
Ye bilkul bilkul nahi bol sakti thi. Acha. Lekin kaano se sun bhi nahi sakti thi. Ab aapka aapka matlab hai ki shifa payi hai, sun sakti hai.
Amen.
Sun sakti.
This is Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and a picture's worth a thousand words. This was at a meeting that you had in Pakistan with some 60,000 people. Most of them were Muslims, and did many come to the Lord at that meeting?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's wonderful when you're standing up, as you saw there, a big stage, and person after person is sharing their testimony, where you have One was a girl that I hope we maybe get to also meet, a quadriplegic that is walking for the first time. Blind eyes are open up, deaf and mute are speaking, and they're all sharing. And we ask them, who did this to you? And it was Jesus Christ. And then we give them a clear gospel presentation, the good news, not about Christianity. We never talk about that, but we talk about Jesus as a Savior, as a healer, and as a Lord. And as we are presenting Jesus Christ, we ask them, how many of you would like to invite Jesus to come into your heart, to change your life, to do the greatest miracle of all, and that is eventually to heal your heart and forgive your sins. And then He will move into your heart and give you peace, and He will also live in your life. And then we even have it, as some of your team have watched here, night after night, you see tens of thousands of people that are praying the sinner's prayer.
Leif, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, you see, Leif had a good father that did love him, but he couldn't feel the love. With this baptism of love he had, he can feel God's love. We're living in some amazing times. So many people are fatherless. Either fatherless because their father has left the home, or fatherless because their father is absent in his emotions and in his love. We'll come right back, and I want you to hear some statistics that just are so sad, but there's hope. Always there's hope. Be right back.
Many viewers report testimonies of miracles, signs and wonders, and healings as a result of watching It's Supernatural.
I'm 14 years old. This morning, I watched It's Supernatural about angels, and warmth poured on me. It made me cry.
God healed me of stage 4 inoperable cancer. It is a real blessing to have It's Supernatural to watch each week.
If you've been touched through watching It's Supernatural, share your testimony at sidroth.org/praise.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Leif Hetland, and I am so enjoying this. I just plain enjoy it when I find out how we can have intimacy with God. And from this intimacy of just loving God with all of our hearts, spirit, soul, strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, all these wonderful things that we wanted to do will be done, but not striving, not burning out. You told me some statistics. In fact, you addressed the Christian Psychiatrists of America, which is part of the national organization, the Psychiatrists Association of America, and you read some amazing statistics. Would you read them?
I will definitely do that. Yeah, it was just yesterday, actually, I returned from Atlanta, where there was 22,000 psychiatrists from around the world. They say it is the biggest event. But then I had the joy to be the only non-medical professional to speak to the Christian Psychiatrist Association. And I was trying to think, what am I going to speak about? And then I felt in my heart that there is the root issue. And I had read some statistics between everything from the crime to suicide and all these problems in America, that the government of the USA had come up with a word, and the word was father hunger. Just listen to this, Sid, that people that are coming from fatherless home, they are 5 times more likely to commit suicide. They are 32 times more likely to run away from home, 20 times more likely to have behavioral disorder, 14 times more likely to commit rape, 9 times more likely to drop out of high school, 10 times more likely to become drug abusers, 9 times more likely to end up in state operation or state institution, also with mental disorder, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. This is just 1 out of 40 pages of statistics that just tells us that we are living in a generation where there is a father hunger out there. People are looking for something.
And you know, here's the amazing thing. People are looking for something, but the truth is, God has a father's heart, and He's looking for us. Somehow we have to come together.
We do. And I think that there is a big problem, like I struggled with, to be honest with you. I didn't have any problem, even as a child, to trust in Jesus. Even actually all the Muslims, that I know they have no problem with Jesus. The problem is to be able to know God as a father. I didn't realize that Jesus...
Well, in Islam, he's not known as a God of love.
No, he is not.
And in Christianity, although he is known as a God of love, I don't think most Christians have ever experienced or felt his love. And you know what? I had a father that loved me. But he couldn't emotionally express his love. So what does a kid conclude? He doesn't love me because I never felt his love.
Yeah, and I think that what is happening, and that's what happened in my life, and I believe with all of the people, I would say almost most all people that are watching, and that is that there is these love deficits that are in our life. We are all looking for security. Every single one of the 6.3 billion people in this world, every single American, we want to be secure. We want to receive love and to give love. We were created for it. Everyone wants to be loved. We want to be valued. We want to understand that I am valuable and affirmed. And we want to understand that there's a purpose and destiny that I have in this world. Among 6.3 billion people, there's only one person like me. But when we either had an absentee father, authoritative father, or an abusive father, or perhaps like 25 million children in America have a father that is not there, then there is a father hunger in your life. And pain is going to be there. And pain always seeks pleasure. So then you're going to fill that with something else. And that is what the government of America has recognized. They're filling it with crime. They're filling it with drugs. And the result is all these physical illnesses. And all these statistics just proves us that what people are looking for is actually a God of love. And we know that Jesus, he is the way. Way to where? Way to a father of love. He is the truth. Truth about what? The father of love. He's the life.
Life. The rubber hits the road, as we like to say, when we say, how is this playing out in your family? Not in the world, not in the 500,000 Muslims that have come to the Lord. In your family, how is this love playing out?
I can be honest with you, it was very difficult for a while. It started, actually, I was driving home from a conference, and I will not mention the names of these people, but a lot of the people you see on television every single day, I've been speaking in a conference with these people and felt very good. And then suddenly God reminded me, and he said, Leif, your wife, and I know for some people are listening, don't remember this story, but he said, your wife has always, she's always been Rachel to you, but she felt like Leah, and I want you to repent to her. So when I came home, I was weeping instead of being very glad for this incredible opportunity. And I said, will you forgive me? Then I had an opportunity to go to Europe and meet with a lot of great leaders. And for 6 months, I've been looking forward to this. And I even was going to be able to speak in this conference. And the first thing I said when I was going to speak, because the love of God started to speak to me. And I can tell you, this would not have been me 4 years ago. It was, I said, I will ask your forgiveness, all of you who are in this conference. I am supposed to speak about a God of love while I have a wife at home that needs me more than you need me. I was actually here to get to know you, to be able to see some of your books I've been reading. I was here actually to see what I could get out of you and how that was going to benefit me instead of being with my wife. Could you pray for me? And that's all I could share in this well-known conference. And I wept, went on an airplane, flew home. Came home and I saw my wife and my children. She said, what are you doing here? You've been looking forward to this for 6 months. Why are you home? And I said, because you are my Rachel. You're the number one in my life, not ministry. And you come before all of these things. And that changed my marriage. And it has also changed my children. And it also related me moving from the state of Georgia to Alabama because I did know that we needed to restart as a family where they know that their daddy, he is a lover, and they have the first place in daddy's life. No matter if I travel all over the world, there is four beautiful children and a wife and a picture of them that is always the first thing that I see every morning that I wake up.
Leif, next week I would like Leif to teach on how to enter into this realm. But right now, I will tell you something. You either had a good family and had a father that showered you and smothered you with love and acceptance, or you had an imperfect father or no father, and most people are in those two latter categories.
God wants you to know that He can fill every void, every hurt, every deficiency, every void of love, and give you the love. He's not angry with you. He loves you. Come on back next week and start talking to God and make Jesus your Messiah and Lord. It's not just words.
An unprecedented supernatural door has opened. Large numbers of Jewish people are suddenly accepting Jesus as their Messiah and Lord like never before. As Sid Roth conducts evangelistic meetings for Jewish people in North America, They Thought for Themselves is a supernatural book that God gave Sid Roth in a dream. It is written from a Jewish perspective with 10 Jewish people telling their own stories to other Jewish people. The book relates to them and penetrates them in a way nothing else can. Now, God has directed Sid Roth to bring this gospel message to 2 million Jewish people in America while this supernatural door remains open.
Please call the number on the screen right now and say, "Yes, Sid, I will join Project 77, adopting 7 Jewish people right now to lead them to Messiah." Most unsaved Jewish people don't have a believing family praying for them to come to know Jesus as their Messiah. When you call, you are saying, "I will pray for their salvation, and I'm providing each of them a copy of They Thought for Themselves." Your gift of just $77 will provide this powerful book to 7 Jewish people, and we will send you the names of your 7 Jewish families so you can hold them up in prayer.
In addition, we want to send you this beautiful keychain, a replica of the high priest's breastplate, which includes 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Just as the high priest would be reminded by his breastplate to intercede for Israel, the Jewish people, we pray that your keychain will remind you to hold up your 7 Jewish names in prayer every time you use your keys. Plus, when you call, you'll also receive your very own copy of the book, They Thought for Themselves. This book will stir your faith to believe God for your own family's salvation.
You may feel that God is directing you now to reach 77 Jewish households by giving $777. $777 to reach 77 Jewish households is like bringing the gospel to an entire Jewish neighborhood. In Genesis 12:3, God promises to bless those who bless the Jewish people. What blessing do you need? Family, salvation, health, more glory, finances? The heart of God at this moment is Jewish souls. Catch God's heart and watch His favor increase in your life.
Every day, Jewish people in America pass into eternity without ever hearing a clear presentation of the gospel. We must move while this supernatural door remains open.
And just as the door has opened supernaturally, it will close just as suddenly. Please call right now.
Call now with your $77 gift or your $777 gift and watch God extend His favor and blessings over your life. Call or give your gift on the web or send your check to It's Supernatural, P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278, offer number P77, or log on to sidroth.org/P77. Call or write today.